Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to take because I am a thief. Of every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast. This is When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. We are broadcasting, amen, live today. Amen. We have a couple things that we're going to get done. Just bear with him. Wait for Reverend Robin to join me today. Amen. We're going to probably continue our conversation about the love of God. Amen. I think it's important that we remind ourselves about the love of God and how he's with us. Amen. So we can continue to talk about that. Amen. We're going to talk about the everlasting love of God today. Reverend Robert is going to be doing a lot of speaking on that. But what I need to do real quick is I just need to do some quick housekeeping, quick announcements, that kind of thing. And bring you up to par, amen, so that you'll be on the same page. So if you don't mind real quick, let me go ahead and do this. Let me tell you about the different things that we do have coming up. We have Hits About and Graciousness of Vanessa Williams, amen, that will take place every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Of course, we have Declaring the Prince Rick with Reverend Pat Randall, amen, that's at 12 noon, okay? That's at 12 noon every Thursday. Amen. We have Friday Night Joy, which is tonight. Amen. And Friday Night Joy, amen, we have it every Friday night at 7 p.m. Amen. With myself. And sometimes I have a friend. However, we do have a new broadcast that's going to start in May. And I want to make sure I give you the correct information with that. Let me see if I can go there. Yeah, it premieres May the 21st. It's called Matters of the Heart. This is a broadcast for singles ministry, okay? And basically, we'll be talking about all kinds of things. We'll be presenting guests, messages about being single, about being a focus on a whole person, mind and body and soul and spirit. The host I have, will be with me as Pastor Maggie Wilson and myself. We will be hosting this on May 21st at 7 p.m. Amen. So I'm looking forward to that and to talk about being single, what it's like to be single, what is needed to be single in Christ, and those different things and many different topics. I want to remind you that we do have a Facebook page called Matters of the Heart. Amen. I'm asking you to please join if you're single and send us some hearts and love and everything. We'd love to hear from you. Amen. Just go to Matters of the Heart's Facebook page. Amen. All right. So also we got Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. Master broadcast, follow Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. It's every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham. It's every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwing is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover with the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. She says Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson. It's every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Alston Green, Cleopas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonia Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. With Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The toll-free number is 712-770-5505. That's just code is 732-499. This is a free conference call number, amen. So we are excited about that. I also want to remind you, go back and listen. If you haven't already, man, I want you to go back and listen to this broadcast from last, or any of the broadcasts from last week, Adoration. Had someone on, Brother Michael's preaching, Brother Jermaine Rucker, amen. His Abounding Grace was talking about what the enemy means for evil. On Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan, he was talking about the six steps to mind renewal. And of course, Declaring the Future Work with Pastor Pat was talking about the B part five. I mean, it's a new series that she started a few weeks ago. Okay. On last Friday, we talked about the love of God, but we talked about sacrifice. And on last Sunday, we talked about we had two guest ladies on, guest hosts, Veronica Burnett and Sunita Mitchell. Sunita is a grief counselor. Amen. And we talk about the journey to better days. Amen. So we're excited about all the broadcasts that took place within the last week. Amen. And we pray that you be blessed because of that. Amen. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come today first to give you thanks. We thank you for your many grace and your mercy and all the love that you have shown for us, God. We thank you for how far that you have brought us, how you have kept us time after time after time after time again, God. So we ask for continued grace in you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you will continue to watch over us and continue to keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. We pray today that anyone listening to this broadcast, God, that need a blessing from you, Lord Jesus, you will come and see about them. Come and help them in their need, God. Come to their rescue, God. You know their private prayers that don't want anyone else know about us, for you and them, God. So we praying for breakthroughs. We praying for revelation. We praying for direction today, God. We praying that their prayers be answered, God. We praying, God, that you begin to rain down your glory upon us, Lord Jesus. You know the needs. You know that those that are going through sickness and those that are going through a period of drought, God. You know everything, God. So we're praying for that you will come today, God, and begin to restore what the cankerworm and the locust and the grasshopper worm have eaten, God. We pray today, God, for complete healing to take place in the lives of your people, God. We need you like never before, God. We need you like never before. We realize that we can't do this without you. We can't do this without you. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come, God. Break down every idol, cast down every foe, God. Cast out every man, whatever needs to be done. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. And amen. Again, I want to welcome you on Christian Speak Talk Radio. This is Friday Night Joy. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Reverend Robin may be joining me later. But we want to talk about the love, continue our conversation about the love of God. And it didn't change. It's supposed to change. And let me see if I can see. Yeah, there we go. And the love of God and everlasting love. Man, so we're going to do that. I just want to check a couple more things real quick and make sure we're still broadcasting. And if they didn't cut me off, so just bear with me. Amen. God's everlasting love. God's everlasting love is so needed today. You know, we need to realize that God loves us so much that he gave his son for our life. We need to be reminded that this love is non-conditional. It's there's no limit, you know, on God's love that is always there no matter what. One of the things that I did do, amen, and I'm looking at several monitors here real quick, but one of the scriptures that I got that talks about everlasting love, let me see if I can go there, and actually this is coming up the new, it talks about just everlasting, okay, and let me just go back here. All right. And it's coming out of John chapter 6, verse 47. We're going to deal with a lot of different scriptures. All right. And this is what it says. This is Jesus talking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting love. have everlasting life. And so when I, another way that I look at when Jesus talks about everlasting life, we're able to have that everlasting life because of everlasting love. Okay, we're able to have that everlasting life because of our everlasting love. Okay, another scripture said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word," this is coming out of John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life." Remember, I just said that in order to have that everlasting life that he's talking about, it represents our everlasting love. He's given us everlasting life because he loves us so much. He that have everlasting life shall not come and condemnation, but it's passed from death into life. Okay? Everlasting life. We thank God for everlasting life because it came into existence because the love that God has for us, that everlasting love that God has for us. So we are grateful for the love. But I want to do right now is, Reverend Robin, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Reverend Ray. How are you?
I'm excited about you being with me, my sister. So thank God for you being with us. And you gave me the topic of everlasting, the everlasting love of God. Amen. So we're going to just turn everything over to you right now for, and I'll just let you speak on it, and we'll be back and forth, okay? That'll work?
Okay, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. I was just coming in as you were going over your scripture about everlasting life, and all we need do is believe, and we truly have everlasting life. And it's kind of hard to believe that it's really that simple. You know, I think that we as mankind make things a little harder than what they need to be, and that is because we partook of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God, his word never fails, never changes. It's always remains the same. And,
right.
And I guess that one of the things that I just wanted to speak on or to kind of share with everything is what I would view as the most well-known scripture in the Bible. I would say that everyone has some sort of knowledge or have heard reference to John 3:16. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, and that is the scripture that you just came with. And, you know, and it is all about as what it started with, for God so loved. And that is God's love, and God's love is everlasting because
yes.
We serve an eternal God. So if you serve an eternal God, everything about him is eternal and everlasting. You know, it has, I think, in reading the scriptures and in the walk with God, that it has been the heart of God throughout the entire Bible. I mean, if you read the entire Bible, the entire thread through the Bible, is God's care for man, God designed to guide and direct and to commune with man, his creation. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, that is the common theme. God is continually with man. You know, he's continually walking with man. He's continually trying to pull man to him. He's continually trying to show man himself, you know, so that in man seeing himself, he would turn to God. It's a continual thing, you know. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old," so, you know, of an old time, of a long time, "unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Yes.
Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee."
Mm.
You know, God draws us unto him. You know, we go unto God because he first comes unto us. And he comes to us and he knocks, You know, we've all heard the scriptures that he knocks at our heart, you know, and in the day that you that he knocks, harden not your heart, but turn unto him. You know, he draws us. He desires us. We are his creation. I mean, we're his creation that's created in his image and after his likeness. So therefore, we are of him, and he continually draws us unto him, you know, and, you know, and it began in Genesis. It began in Genesis, and we see it even all the way to Revelations and all the way in between, you know, and that's where it starts. And I say starts, you know, in present tense, not in started, but in starts, because there are no time barriers for God. God
right.
is eternal, and there is, you know, nothing that he doesn't know about, you know, and we must know that he's unchanging. You know, we kind of, we discussed this before, that he is an unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and for an eternal. You know, so everything about him is everlasting. Our relationship with him is everlasting. It doesn't fall. It doesn't fail, because that is not who God is. God goes into something, and he is who he is, and he's eternal, and it is everlasting, you know, and we see it throughout. We see it in Genesis, you know, when God, you know, first creates man and forms man, you know, and it says God, the Lord God planted a garden eastward, and this is beginning in Genesis 2:8. In Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And verse 15 says, and the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, you know. So that passage of scripture has always been a scripture of comfort for me when you think about it, is that the Lord God himself planted a garden. You know, he set up a place for man. He provided man with everything that he needed. And then he just put man in there to dress it and to keep it. I've prepared this place for you. Everything that you need is here. All you have to do is come here, dress it, and keep it. It's yours. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that, who makes all of your provisions? He didn't wait until he may be hungry to provide him with a tree that was good for food. He prepared the tree beforehand because he knew that there was going to be a time where you were hungry. So therefore, I'm going to already have this here for you, that when you're hungry, just go and partake. You know, that's a good father. That's a good God. That's someone who's looking out for you even before you know that you have a need, that he's already provided. You know, and then it goes on that he became aware that Adam was there, and he named animals, and everyone, and all animals had someone with them of their like kind, and God was aware that Adam would be lonely, would be alone there, and he moved to remedy that. I mean, another situation where God's care, his concern, and his love, you know, and this is in Genesis, we move on down, we're still in 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. You know, he is thinking, he is caring, he is, you know, he is that tender-hearted, loving-kindness God that I don't want you to be alone. I don't want you to have someone here who is not like you. And I know that after a while you're going to want someone that you can relate to who is like you, you know. And so it's it just says, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. I'm going to make him someone who he needs, you know. And then, you know, we all know the story is that that woman came from the rib of Adam, and God presented the woman, you know, to Adam, because we always have to remember, you know, a lot of people say different things about this, that he said that when he created man in his image and after his likeness, he created the male and female. You know, he didn't say he created just male, but he created them male and female. So when he went in and he took the rib out, that portion that was created female, he took that portion, and now they were separate as opposed to being in one. You know, and that's why it says that when man and woman join together, they must cleave together, because they come back into that spiritual oneness. You know, so, and it's just awesome that God is like, yes, I have all that you need within you. It's truly within you. But yet and still recognizing that we, as mankind, we have all the senses, you know, the eyes. We got to see. We got to touch. We got to feel. We got to smell. You know, so God created man, you know, and he formed him. He knew all the things that he would need, you know, so he separated them out and then brought them back together as one. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is a God who is intricately aware of his creation, intricately aware of what he has formed, and having a loving disposition that he wants his creation to be totally fulfilled and not unfulfilled. But he doesn't want there to be any place of lack, that he will provide for man out of his care and out of his concern for everything that he will need. And I mean, is that like not a loving God? Is that not a God who, you know, he cares, he loves, he desires for us to be complete, you know, he desires, and that completeness is in him, because it's only God who knows ahead of time, you know, what we need. We're here today. We're stuck in time. God is not stuck in time. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he knows everything in between. So he knows next week what we're going to be in need of. And believe it or not, he's already prepared for next week today. So you're not going to, none of us are going to encounter a need, a situation, a circumstance, a injury, a illness, or anything that God has not already made preparation for. Because that's the type of God that he is. His love for us is everlasting. Even after the fall, when God looked and he said the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually, even when God came to that, even when he said that, he already knew that, but he continued to move forward with his plan for man and to care for man. It did not stop, because God is eternal. God is everlasting, and everything that he does continues on. It doesn't stop because you make a mistake. It doesn't stop because you fall. It doesn't stop because you don't think you perform well, because it's not about us, and it's not about our falling. It's not about our mistake. It's not about our performance, but it's about God and who he is. It is about God and what he's created. It is about God, and it is about his word, you know, because we truly were created in his image and after his likeness. You know, we truly have been given dominion over all the earth, and we are truly created to be spiritually fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, and we were created to commune with God. So God, therefore, himself moves and does all of these things to care for man, to make sure that what he created and what he intended to happen does occur. God is everlasting. He doesn't turn back on his word. He doesn't turn back on his covenant. He doesn't turn back on his love. And he does not turn his back on his creation. You know, and, you know, Reverend Ray read it, John 3:16, everlasting life. on whosoever believe, you will have everlasting life. All we have to believe that he is, and we walk in and we come under that umbrella of everything being everlasting, an everlasting covenant, an everlasting love, an everlasting God who cares and tends for us, an everlasting God who will always love us, because God is a loving God. God is part of who he is to love. You know, it says, scripture says God is love. You know, it's part of his nature is to love. You know, and what he does not return unto him unfulfilled, but it returns to him fulfilled. You know, in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's promises will not return void. God's words will not return void. God's covenant will not return void. They will go forth, and they will accomplish all that he has said that they will accomplish. There is nothing that God has spoken that shall return void. It shall not be incomplete. It shall not be unfulfilled. It shall not be meaningless, and it shall not be without order. We can opt to forsake and not engage his word, but that means that we have just left our lives void and empty, and what he has spoken to fill it. You see, because above all, God is a gentleman, and he's not going to force himself. It's almost, imagine that someone has placed $1 million in a bank account for you. Your name is on it. They've given you the PIN number. They've given you checks to it, and they say, here, this is for you, but you're unbelieving to even go to the bank to see if you can get a withdrawal. And so it's not that it wasn't provided. And it's not that it won't be fulfilling to you, and it's not that it won't be a provision to you, but your unbelief that someone has done that for you prevents you from entering in to be able to glean all the benefits. But it has been provided. It is there. It is there, and it doesn't go anywhere void. It is there. I mean, so sometimes I stop and think, how many things have we missed out on because we just didn't engage it? We didn't believe it. You know, the scripture says in Jonathan Holmes that whomsoever believe, that's the key and that's the crucial point to our walk with God. Do you believe that I am a healer? Do you believe that my love is everlasting? Do you believe that I can provide for you? Do you believe that I have a peace that I desire to give you that will surpass your very own understanding? Do you believe that my word that says that I promise you life and life more abundantly, do you believe it? Do you believe that you are forgiven? And that I've forgiven you as far as the east is from the west? Do you believe that I have gone to prepare a place and that I shall come back and I will bring you to where I am? Do you believe it? Do you believe that I will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe it? You see, because we walk into those things as we believe it. We have to believe and engage in it. We can't go with our natural minds and the things that we think. Because in Isaiah 55:8-10, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So his way is, I just want you to believe. But we kind of like, I don't know. I'm just not sure if that is just that simple. You know, I know I must do something. I know I must, you know, I didn't pray today, so God must not love me as much today, but because he loved me more yesterday because I prayed more yesterday. And I even read my Bible even more last week than I read it all this week. So God must not be caring for me in the same manner. Not so. That's a lie. Those are lies from the pit of hell. You know, I did something I should not have done, so I can't come boldly before the throne of God because I know he knows I did it, so therefore I know his love has diminished to me. That's a lie. That is a lie. That is a lie, and it comes from the father of lies who wants you to separate from God as opposed to running into him and moving into him. God's love for us is not based on our performance. God's love is based on him. And it's based on the fact that he is an everlasting God. It's based on the fact that he loves us. That is what it's based on. It's not based on anything that we do. We can. He's higher than us. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. We can't even begin to attain to his plan and his purpose. The way in which he would do something is totally different than what we would actually think, you know. But God has a plan, and just like I read in Genesis, his plan has already been established and set up. He has already planned out what you're going to need next week before you, because it says that, you know, he knows what you have a need of before you even ask. It's the same with Adam in that garden. That is such a beautiful picture of God, the Lord God planting that garden. That is such a beautiful picture of a loving God who prepares a place for his creation, and he provides everything that his creation will need before you will need it. So where we are today, God has already provided what you're going to walk into next week. He has already done it. It is already there. It is already a finished work. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he says, "It is finished." He said it is finished there in time and place for those who were there to hear it, but it was already finished before the foundations of the earth. It had already been determined that that is what Jesus was going to do to reconcile man. All of that was a completed work that was already finished, completed, and it's there, available for us all to walk into, to enter into, to engage in, to believe in, and therefore obtain this everlasting love that will never fail no matter what. Once God has chosen and drawn you unto him, he has chosen and drawn you unto him, and you are his. And the beautiful thing about it is that once you are drawn to God and you are his, and you've received that Holy Spirit of promise, and he bears a witness within in your spirit that the two of you are one and you all are joined together, you're not going to be able to help but to do anything but to love him. It's just going to come like, "I just love you. Thank you, God. I just love you." You know, you wake up, "God, I just love you. I just love you. Thank you so much for drawing me unto you. Thank you. I love you, God. I love you. What are we going to do today? I just love you." And that's not performance-based. That is love-based. That's just straight love. You know, just love. And we just thank God for that. You know, and it comes down, we're still in Isaiah 55 and verse 10. It says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." This is an everlasting thing that will always occur. God doesn't say, well, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. I'm not going to let the rain come down or the snow to come down and to water the earth. You know, I'm not going to let that come. And then, of course, if you water the earth, you're going to bring forth a bud and it's going to give seed. You know, I'm not going to let, no, that's everlasting. That will happen forever because God is everlasting and he set it up to be so. There will be the water that's going to water the earth, that's going to bring forth seed, that's going to go to the soil, that's going to produce bread, and we shall eat it. It's everlasting because those things that God set up are everlasting. And that is the blessed thing about God, to know that those things that he establishes, those things that he set up, that they are everlasting. And another example of his things that are everlasting, we find it in Jeremiah 33. And let's read. And this is his covenant that's everlasting. I'm going to begin at verse 19. Reverend Ray, you there? You want to jump in? Got something you want to add?
No, I'm just listening. Praise God.
That's God. Jeremiah 13, beginning at 19, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that's saying if you can break the sunrise and the sunset, you know, if you can break the daylight and if you can break the nighttime, and that there should not be day and night in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Now he says, if you can break something that I've set up, it's only then and then only can my covenant with David be broken. I want someone to tell me and send an email to Reverend Ray of when at any time anyone has been able to break God's covenant of day and night, to break God's covenants of seasons, to be able to go in and say, who have been able to go in and say, no, there will not be day and no, there will not be night? Who has ever been able to do that? God says, if you can break that, that and only then, can, if you do that, will you know that my covenant that I've made with David, that someone, a son of his, will always reign, will not be true. So we know, as far as I know, now y'all can you know, write in and let Reverend Ray know, no one has ever been able to break that covenant. So I know for sure that God is a covenant-keeping God, an everlasting covenant-keeping God, that we can rest assured that any covenant that he has given, any promise that he has given, that it will be everlasting. It will be continual. It is not going to end. You know, verse 22 says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so would I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast off. Thus have they have despised my people, that they should be no more nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and as I have appointed ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of David. He says, I don't care what it looks like. You know, at that time he did. He was coming forth with chastisement. You know, and so they were trying to say that he had cast them off. You know, he comes back and say, you know, that is not so. It says in verse 26, Well, let me go back up to verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the heaven and the earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David. I haven't cast them away. There's a time of punishment. There's a time where, you know, there's some reckoning that has to be done, but cast away, never. Is my covenant with the day and night cast away? No. Then my covenant with my people is not cast away. It is everlasting. He says, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. These things are blessings. These things are nuggets of blessings, because no matter where we find ourselves and no matter what we feel or how far we may feel we have fallen, God has not cast us away. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake us, and he has not cast us away. Is there times of punishment? Is there a time of chastisement? Is there a time that he lets you go ahead and do you? But that doesn't mean I'm going anywhere. Doesn't mean that my covenant has changed. Doesn't mean that my love has changed, but you go ahead. You see, once you do something and those bricks start to fall, they're going to fall and you're going to get hit on the head. But God hasn't gone anywhere. His love is everlasting. His covenant is everlasting. You are still his child, and he still loves, because he loves us with an everlasting love. And we know that because Jesus is the fulfillment of this everlasting covenant that a son of David would always be on the throne. In Luke 1:32, he says, he shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And we know that Jesus has an everlasting throne. He sits on the throne. He will forever sit on the throne, an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom Jesus rules over as a son of David. An everlasting kingdom. You know, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe shall have everlasting life. So all we have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that he came and he died for our sins, and that if we only believe in him, we will have everlasting life. We shall be reconciled on him. Our sins shall be forgiven. We shall be saved. He will be our redeemer, our deliverer. He will come forth and wash us whiter than snow, that we can go before God. That we can go before God. I mean, it's the crucial thing, and the most important thing is that we believe. Can you imagine you just believe something and you walk into something that's everlasting? Everlasting, not just while you're here on earth, but everlasting. I will forever be loved by God. How warming is that? I mean, how just rewarding is that? You know, just to know that I will forever be loved by God. No one on this earth may love me, but I have an everlasting love with God. This everlasting love with my God, who so cares about me that he has already prepared in my life a plan. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. He says, the thoughts that I have for you, to prosper you, to bring you to an expected end. There is an expected end that he has already prepared for us. Is already expected. He already has a plan. Even where we are today, which may seem horrible, messed up, jacked up, crazy looking, crazy feeling, not knowing how you're going to get out, feeling lost, feeling deserted. But he says, I have an expected plan for you. I have an expected end for you. I've already arranged it. It's already prepared even unto the everlasting. Believe in me, trust in me, come unto me. It's already done. It's a done deed. It's a finished work. It's already prepared. I prepared it for you even before I called you. Even before I planted you in this time and season in which I have planted you, I had already come and placed everything that you're going to need in this season, in this time, for your lifetime. I have already made provisions for you. That is a blessed and awesome thing. So blessed and so awesome our God is, that he looks out ahead. He knows what's ahead, and he prepares our steps before we get there. He knows the pitfall. He knows the pitfalls we're going to take. But then he has the rope to give down unto you and pull you out and set you back on a stable ground and lead you and continue to lead us to where he wants us to be. Because he cares for us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He has a concern for us. You know, he wants to protect us. He doesn't want anything to happen to us. Because he loves us with an everlasting love. God loves his creation. God loves mankind. And he doesn't want any to perish. And there are so many, I think, wonderful instances in the Old Testament, which is a place that I kind of love. The Old Testament, the New Testament is good, and it provides us with a lot of ways to be able to walk our journey with God and to guide us and direct us. But the Old Testament shows of so much of God's care for man and his love for man, you know. And one of those places are in Exodus 19. You know, and it was during this time, God, they had come through the Exodus, and God was eager. He was eager to meet with man and to talk with man. You know, he had, you know, and the scripture is going to say, and this is Exodus 19. I'm going to begin at 19:3. And it says, "And Moses went unto God, and the Lord God called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." He didn't say that I brought you to the other side of the Red Sea. He didn't say that I'm bringing you to the wilderness, but he says, "And I brought you unto myself. I bore you up on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself." Oh, hallelujah. I mean, there is a God that is our God who see us in bondage, and he will bear us up on eagle's wings, and he will bring us unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't just find you in a situation, in a circumstance, and he bring you out of it just to bring you out of it, but he brings us to show you, I'm going to bear you up, and I'm going to bring you out, and you're going to see that it was no one but me who did it, so I'm going to bring you out, but I'm bringing you out unto me. See me. Recognize me. Come to me. Love me as I have loved you, because I love you with an everlasting love. So I bring you out of these places that you find yourself to bring you closer to me. That is what I want. You know, he says, "I've proven myself that I am God. I've proven myself that I've redeemed you, I've delivered you, that I brought you to a place of refuge that is in me, that I want you to trust in me. I want you to believe in me, because I'm bringing you unto me." All of that craziness, all of that, you know, making those bricks and building those pyramids and all of how you were just abused and mistreated, you know, you were beaten. I delivered you from all of that. You were a slave, you know, and then it says in New Testament that we were slaves to sin. But now he has brought us out of that. He has delivered us from that so that we can now not just not be slaves anymore, but so that we can be brought closer unto him, so that he can have a relationship, so he can share his plans that he has for us, so that he can lead, guide, and direct us to all of the places throughout our lives where he has already gone ahead and placed his little nuggets of provisions for us. that all we have to do is continue to walk with him and pick them up as we need them as we go along. That is the mighty good God that we serve. That is that everlasting God who just loves us. He loves us, you know. And verse 5, it says that we're in Exodus 19, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He says, go and tell them that I have a plan for them. I have a mighty plan for them, that they are going to be treasures, that they are going to be priests, that they are going to be a holy nation. You know, God has a plan for each one of us. We are his peculiar treasure. See, because we're going to be peculiar because as we walk through this earth, things that he has lined up for us is outside of us. It's beyond us. It is just what he has placed there in our lives. So we just thank God for that, that we can be peculiar. Those who don't may not know God are working hard. They're still out being as slaves. But God has pulled us aside. He's borne us up on eagle's wings, and he's bringing us unto himself, and therefore he's all that he needs to do for us because he loves us, and it's an everlasting love. It's an everlasting covenant that cannot be broken unless the day and the night no longer continues to exist. Amen, Reverend Ray?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. What an awesome word. What an awesome word. Amen. Everlasting love. Everlasting love. We need to be reminded of that, that how God loves us is an everlasting love. If there's an everlasting covenant, it has to start with an everlasting love. And then the everlasting love that he has for us. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. What an awesome word. We bless God for that word. And wherever you might be, you got to remember that God loves you. You know, and it's not about what you did, not about where you've been, not about what kind of degrees you got in front of your name, not about your pedigree, your church, the color of your skin. But God loved you so much, as John 3:16 said, that God loved you so much that he's willing to give his son for your life. Amen. Willing to give his son for your life, but not just any kind of life, life more abundantly. Thank you, Reverend Rob. What an awesome word. Everlasting. You hear my phone just buzzing like crazy. You got people. Thank you. Saying that was a good word, Reverend Robin. So God is good, man. I don't know where you are, what place that you've been in. And you know, there were all this season that we've been through for the last year and a half. It looks like it's been one thing after another. We have lost loved ones, and we're wondering what is going on. There's so much other negative stuff that's going on in the world. But we as believers, we expect this to take place. Men are lovers of themselves, you know. There's no word again. Men are lovers of themselves, of their own flesh. But the thing that we do, we have in our favor, that God loves us. That God loves us. And it's not just, you know, when people, as Reverend Robin was speaking, one of the things I thought about, when people have a tendency to love us, and we've been talking about this for the last four weeks now, about the love of God. We talk about that. The other different types of love. Their love may be conditional. If you do this for me, I do this. I love you for that, doing that for me. But God's love is unconditional. It's without merit. It's unmerited. You know, there's nothing you can do, you know, when it comes to God's love. He loves you just that much. And I really, as Reverend Robin was speaking, I really don't think we can even justify it with the English language, the deep and the pureness and the holiness of the love of God for us. The love of Christ, the love that Christ had for us, that he was willing to die. You know, that he was willing to die no matter what. Willing to die. That he did ask If it be thy will, Father, let this cup pass. He did say that. But then came there nevertheless. And then nevertheless, because he saw us down the pike, man. He saw you, and he saw me, he saw Reverend Robin. He saw all of us needing him to die so that we can live, needing him to die so we can have that relationship or that fellowship with the Father one more time, needing him to die so he can be the mediator between God and man, and needing him to die, you know, so we might receive the Holy Spirit, you know, that we might be changed, you know, that we might be a new creature, needing us to die, and my phone is still ringing, needing us to die. Isn't that awesome to know that? That's awesome to know. You know,
it is. You got to embrace it.
And embracing it. That's what, and thank you, Reverend Ron, for the word. Embracing it means to take hold of it. You know, put your arms around it and don't let go of the fact that God loves you. Don't let go of that. I don't care what you're facing in life. I don't care what the doctors, the lawyers, and I don't care what's going on in the streets and everything like that. I care, but I don't care, because embrace the love of God. You know, there's an old song back in the day, Reverend Robin, I'm going to give it back over to you so you can close up. They said, what the world needs is love, sweet love, and it's the only thing, something, I forgot the other part of that. But it's more than just that regular type of love. The world needs is the love of God. They need the love of God. They need that type of agape love for my brothers and my sister. The agape love, the man, no matter what you say or do to me and stuff like that, that I'm willing to love you in a way. I'm willing to love you in a way, okay? And that's only comes from God. We can't generate that type of love in within ourselves, but that comes through the Holy Spirit. It has to come through the Holy Spirit. I can't love you one moment and the next moment I hate you because you did so. It don't work like that. Thank God God's love is not like that. He loves us in our ups and downs, our turnarounds, our crooked smiles, our frowns. He loves us in spite of all of that. He still loves us. His love is everlasting. It doesn't change. It doesn't change, because what we do, what did or did do, or past or present, or what we will do, even what we might do tomorrow, God loves us. Say, I love you. You know, I love you. Amen. I love you. Well, we're almost out of time. I'm going to give it back up. Thank you again, Reverend Ron, for that awesome word. I mean, that's an awesome word. I started to do something else, but I wanted to continue with loving God. Then when I talked to Reverend Robert earlier, amen, then she was like, yeah, well, let's continue with the love. Talk about the love of God. This has been a series. I don't know. I think it's about 4 weeks now, maybe longer, talking about the love of God. This time we talk about everlasting. I think last week we talked about something, another type of love. But it's important, you know, that even in this season we realize the powerful, the awesomeness, you know, how unique that, and the knowing, it's the knowing without a shadow of a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that God loves me. You know, I think last day I began to tear up because I was talking about that God loves me. When don't no one else loves you, God loves me. Amen. Reverend Robin, I'm going to give you the closing remarks, and you can also close it out, please.
Bless the Lord. I tell you, just as I was looking into this and the everlasting God, the eternal God, you know, that's who he is. And it's, you know, and once we are in him, you know, as Christ says, we'll be in him as he is in the Father, and then we all are one, then we get to engage all of the eternal of God, that, and to know that everything that he says to us, it's not just for this moment, I mean, but it's eternal, it's everlasting. When he says he's forgiven me as far as the east is from the west, then I'm going to believe that. When he says that he has a plan for me, then I'm going to believe that. When he says he has healing for me, then I'm going to believe that, because he's an eternal God. He is an everlasting God. So all that he says is eternal and everlasting, and none of it can ever return void. How can something that comes from a God who is eternal and everlasting, how can it ever be void? never be voided. He says his word will never return to him void, but it will go forth and accomplish all that he sets it out to accomplish. So if he sent his word out to say that I love you, you are my child, you are forgiven, any and everything that you need can be found in me, I've set up all the provisions for you, I already know my plans for you, and I have an expected end for you. And that expected end is in Christ Jesus. And if we're in Christ and Christ is in Jesus, then we're in the Father. So we're all connected together. And it's just such an awesome thing that my mind has to grasp that it's eternal. It's everlasting. It's not going to fail. It's not going to return void. It is true, and it will always, always remain true. As long as there is day and as long as there is night and as long as these covenants and all that God has set up and established cannot be changed, then nothing about his love for me can be changed, because he is an eternal God and is not based on my performance. It's not based on how good I am. It's not based on if I read my Bible today. It's not based on whether I prayed today. It's not based on whether I did a good deed today. It's not based on whether or not my mind was totally right and in the right places today. It's not based on whether or not I didn't use my body properly today. It's not based on any of that. I'm in a covenant relationship with an everlasting God. And as he loves me, I love him. And he's going to fulfill his word in which he has said that I am going to place within you my laws and my statutes, and I'm going to cause you to walk upright before me. That takes my hands off of it, because the eternal and everlasting God says he is going to make a causation in my life, and he is going to change my life, transform it, renew it. He is going to do that, so I can trust him, because he's eternal, he is everlasting, and his word will not return void, and I'm going to love him as he loves me as we go through the process, because the process is going to occur. It cannot not occur. I cannot not be conformed. I cannot not be transformed. I cannot not have the mind of Christ, because that's what he said he's going to do. And I'm going to love on him, and he's going to love on me. And as I continue to walk, all of these things are going to occur in my life. So Heavenly Father, we come before you right now with praises and thanksgiving in our hearts, just joyful, Lord, that we, Lord God, have been called and drawn by an eternal and everlasting God who has a plan and an expected end for us, a God who has already gone and made preparations for us even before he planted me in this earth during this season. And your word has said that none of us have come into this earth out of season, but we are in season. So I am in this season on this earth, Lord God. You have planted me here. You have placed me here. But God, I know just as you prepared for Adam, everything that I need, you have already prepared for me, even before I even know I have the need for it. So, Father, I thank you, and your children thank you, Lord God. And, Father, we just come and we just going to say that, Father, help us in any area of unbelief, Lord God. Let us walk just in a blind faith, Lord God. Let us continue to truly walk by faith and not by sight, knowing, Lord God, that your word is true and it will not return void, knowing that you are everlasting, your love is everlasting, and that you, Lord God, will work it all out, Lord God, for our good as we love upon you and you love upon us. So, Father, I thank you. I pray for everyone who may hear this message, Lord God, that they come into a place of resting, Lord God, in your love, trusting in your love, believing in your love, and walking, Lord God, in that everlasting place in which you have established for each and every one of us, where all of our provisions are there, that as we walk, we just pick them up along the way. So, Father, I thank you. I praise you. I lift up Reverend Ray. I lift up his family, Lord God, that, Father, that you, Lord God, have already marked the way, and that, Father, that you will reveal the way in which to go. Father, we thank you and we love you. We love you. We love you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray and say amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Again, I want to thank everyone for joining with Christian Speak Talk Radio tonight. Amen. This has been Friday Night Joy. I've been your host, Reverend Ray, and Reverend Robin has been with me also. She's been doing it. Speaking and preaching real good, teaching real good about the love of God. This has been a series that we've been working on for the last, probably the last month. We can always go back and to listen to any of the different series, any of the broadcasts by going to Blog Talk Radio, /Christian Speak, also on iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com, and iTunes, just to name a few. But if you go to the website, you can find out more information, okay? God, everlasting love. Make sure you get that in your spirit. Please, by all means, share this audio. Please share the broadcast for today. I know it will touch the lives of many. Amen. So thank you again, Reverend Robin, for the word. Great word. Awesome word. And thank you for tuning in to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Have a great day. God bless you. Take care, Reverend Robin.
Thank the Lord.